It's the WGIL Morning News with Tom Meredith, Jim Lee, and Will Stevenson.
Barry Swanson, a former Galesburg High athlete, played for John Thiel, was also the coach of the Silver Streaks at one point in his career. He joins us this morning along with the former general manager here at WGIL, Roger Coleman, who knew John Thiel very well. Gentlemen, welcome. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Delighted to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Barry, I want to start with you and with the passing of Marilyn Thiel. You know as well as I, being a coach is not always an easy thing, but being a coach's wife is even, in a lot of respects, a tougher thing. And without a very strong wife and great support, makes it you can't be successful as a coach. And I'm guessing Marilyn Thiel was probably one of those people.
There's no question about that. And of course, I guess you could speak to that too, Tom. Being a coach's kid sometimes is not very easy either. But yeah, Marilyn was a force, certainly in the lives of Coach Thiel as well as the children. But she also was an influence on us because we watched her. And then later on when I was coaching, and after I got out of coaching too, it was sort of interesting to see her as a grandparent when Taylor was playing and she was involved. Just by going to the games, and I know there were some times when she and my wife had some nice chats about how you handle all of this. And,
putting up with you, is that?
yeah, I think that maybe the best word that would describe Marilyn was grace. You know, she was just a very graceful woman, and moved in those circles with a lot of grace.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would guess in a lot of circles. I mean, in the home life as a coach, when you come home, you've got so much on your mind. And you're trying to separate what goes on the court from the rest of life. And then I would guess out in the community for a coach and a coach's wife, a bit of a thick skin because it's a high-profile position, and especially in a basketball-crazy town like Galesburg was, probably hear things you don't want to hear from time to time, and you probably want to come up for air and maybe defend your spouse, but have to lay back and go, okay, this will work itself out, I would guess.
Well, it's difficult. There's no question about it. And you know, it's sort of a mixed blessing, isn't it, in terms of, you know, having people that are typically fanatical, which is where the word fan comes from. And there were a lot of good fans, certainly during the, you know, what we used to call the glory years, I guess. And also, I can tell you that as a coach, there were a lot of good fans that were very supportive in many ways. And this gentleman to my left here was one of the great not only supporters but fans as well as a friend of the program, and obviously that they thought so much that they put him in the Athletic Hall of Fame. So we were blessed to have people like that in Galesburg as well. So you had a few negative people that happens, I think, in every profession and every community, but there were a lot more good fans than there were negative folks.
And Roger, I wanted you to speak a little bit about Marilyn and some of your experiences. One of the stories you had told me off the air the other day was, sometimes late after games, of course, you know, there would be the post-game show on the radio stations, and oftentimes you would end up at the Thiel household, and Marilyn would always take care of you guys.
Right. Well, there was a huge gathering usually after all the home games at Harbor Lights. That's when Nunk and Tony Mangieri ran Harbor Lights, which, by the way, is there's never been anything since that was like that. And, of course, they were of Italian descent, and Marilyn is of Italian descent. And once in a while you could see that that temper coming out of her. But she was the true matriarch of that family. And, I mean, she knew what her duties were, and every once in a while she let the coach know that he wasn't doing things quite right. And it was one of those win-win marriages.
Mm. There's so much said about the Thiel era, and I wasn't here for a part of it. And, in fact, I was talking with the current girls basketball coach, Evan Massey, for about an hour out at GHS this week, and the topic turned to that for a while. And he said, yeah, he said, you know, there are some stories that I'm certain are true. I've talked to a number of people that were involved, both on and off the court. Other ones that he said, I think, have just kind of grown in their legend over the years. Do you run into that too, Roger, where you hear people saying sometimes you're going, ah, that's not quite the way it was?
Well, you know, Marilyn and I, my Marilyn, we were involved very closely with the Thiel family, not only in sports, but, you know, we did some things together. I remember one time the four of us went down to Dallas, Texas, and that was when Tuzinski and
Triplett
and Zach Thiel were there. And it was a wonderful trip, and I remember we were invited to a party down there, and I go to the Marilyn and I go to the party and along with the Thiels and look around, and here on the wall are pictures of this guy with Nixon. And he obviously was a very powerful politician in Texas. And in fact is what was happening down there is every player had a sugar daddy on that team.
Oh, goodness.
And bought a lot of things. But anyway, that was a trip that my Marilyn and I really enjoyed.
I think the thing that probably you guys may not know about it, and Roger and I were talking about this, I had the good fortune of actually doing play-by-play during Coach Thiel's last year. And it was very interesting for me because having been a former player, then be thrown into that scene, you know, being at the Harbor Lights, and where Coach typically always held court afterwards. I mean, he was sort of the center of attention.
Amen.
And was one of the great all time storytellers. There's no question about that. When the gym was named after him, and they asked me to speak, the one thing I told about, and Roger will back me up on this, was the fact that when Coach would tell a story, typically he would finish it off with saying, "Now that's a true story. Everything was a true story." So. And we knew better.
We are talking Thiel memories this morning. Barry Swanson joining us, Roger Coleman. Marilyn Thiel, the widow of John Thiel, passed away over the weekend, and talking about some memories of her and the family and of John Thiel and that era of basketball. And Barry, you were talking about how, you know, you said one of the words you used to describe Marilyn Thiel was grace. And was she, I'm assuming, was she always there at the games, home, road? Or, I mean, obviously she had a lot of kids to take care of, but was she always at the games supporting?
Yeah, and I don't know about the early years. Roger might know more about that, but I know that when we were playing, she was always around. And I know that, you know, in the later years, when I was doing the announcing, she was. But I'm sure that there were times when she was pretty busy raising children, and she did a very good job of that. So, because they had five kids, three boys, two girls, and you know, I was telling you guys off the air, you know, just I know in terms of my career, how important a wife is, you know, because you know they're your chief counselor, and you know, and Marilyn was also, by the way, she was a very knowledgeable basketball person. She could talk the game, and she knew and understood the game very well. So it wasn't like, you know, she was oblivious to all of that. So, yeah, she was a terrific person, no question about it.
Yeah, and I wonder in that role if you have to be – I mean, I know they had a lot of kids, but you know, say when Zach was playing basketball, and do you have to be a bit of a moderator? You would know from home because your son played for you. Were there times where there would get to be too much basketball talk in a household and the wife has to step in and go – there are other things in life.
Dinner tables oftentimes, and I know that Zach and I have talked about this, dinner tables oftentimes, you know, become battlegrounds because there are things that happen at practice, and then you got to be very careful about leaving that at the gym, you know. And I know that Marilyn, I think she officiated in that regard, as did my wife. So, yeah, I think that, you know, that those things – basically, you know, I think in many cases, if we may be the leaders on the floor, but I'm not sure that neither coach nor I were leaders at home. So.
Yeah. And Roger, I'm guessing you saw, and knowing them so well socially as well, that she was not only a great supporter of her husband, but I'm guessing of the program and all the kids in the program as well.
Right. Well, she, of course, along with it, was a mother. We might mention that, and I know that the kids are listening. They're here for a couple of days. Of course, Zach was captain of the Chicago Daily News All-State team which was a high honor. And John, mm-hmm. believe it or not, battled a lot with the writer from the Chicago Daily News. But that was a high honor. And of course, Mark was the middle boy, and he played with the New York Yankees farm club. He didn't make the big club. And then, of course, Eric was the youngest one, and he now lives in Florida. And his athletic career was in Bloomington because they had moved there by then. And, in fact, I ran into him one day down in Champaign, and he was going to Parkland College down there. And he now lives in Florida. And then the two girls who came along last, Nancy and Lisa, Nancy lives in
Reno.
Reno. Mm-hmm. And Lisa lives in Texas. Mm-hmm. And she at one time was a news announcer at WTVH in Peoria, Channel 19.
Yeah, in fact, our careers kind of crossed a little bit because I know Nancy at one time, she'd gotten out of television, was doing some radio in Bloomington, and Kevin Trueblood, who is, of course, Mike, his dad, mm-hmm. is the editor of the Register Mail, was program director at the station where she was actually doing a morning show before she mm-hmm. and her husband had moved out to Nevada. So, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talking Thiel memories this morning. John Thiel's widow, Marilyn, passed away over the weekend, talking about some memories of her and the coach and... Oh, just so many stories. I know we were talking. there's a lot. I suppose a lot of those less to do with Marilyn and more to do with Coach Thiel that can't be talked about on the air. But so you know, in some ways, you know, her being the rock and the steady one, there's probably a lot that she had to deal with at times that maybe the normal basketball life doesn't. One, because you talk about how, I mean, it was still high profile a lot when you were coaching, but at that time, I mean, that was it. Basketball was it here in the city of Galesburg.
Well, you think about how things have changed in terms of, you know, ESPN and you know, the people don't get out like they used to get out and unfortunately and support high school sports. I think our town is probably still pretty unusual when you really look at things. I know that when I was in the suburbs, I was always shocked that there weren't the crowds that we typically get at the football. You know, I'm sure we'll have a huge, hopefully, a turnout tonight. You know, go Streaks. Let's mm-hmm. get that Big Six championship back where it ought to be. That's great. But the thing I think that's always interesting about basketball, of course, you know, you guys know that being up in the booth, you hear a lot of things when you're sitting in those seats. And quite frankly, when you're on the bench, you know, there are things that people, I'm sure, said things, you know, toward me or at me or whatever, which I didn't hear because you're pretty focused on the game and you really honestly don't. You will sometimes maybe going back in the locker room, but the wives of the kids that are sitting there, you know, they are hearing that. And, of course, you know, we have a lot of Monday morning quarterbacks, and they think they know best and how things should happen. So it's a tough thing. And as I think you said, Jim, you got to have a tough skin. And certainly Marilyn had a tough skin. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm. Roger, I've heard several people, you know, say over the years that, you know, you talked about the Harbor Lights and the whole post. I actually hear as many or more stories about post-game stuff than I did of actual Silver Streaks basketball during the 60s because it became it was all in one. I mean, you had the game and then you had everything going on surrounding this. And like you said, he was such a good spokesman and a good storyteller that they said that you were really instrumental, though. A lot of people thought that you had a big hand in maybe not making Coach Thiel, but as far as bringing the attention to the whole basketball aura around here, that you had a big hand in that.
Right. Well, we wanted him to be pretty much an exclusive, and we ended up paying him. And, of course, the word got out, and I think in those days, I think we paid him around $3,000 a year. And that irritated a lot of people, but we wanted him pretty much exclusive, and we were able to, you know, to do so. One story I'll tell on Marilyn, WGIL, a lot of times drove the van going to a game, and we were going down to Canton, and Bill Pritchard was at that time the main one running in charge of the station, and he decided we needed a van and we needed a table in the back. And he used the table many times to go to various games with his friends, and there would be a little drinking and so forth going on. Well, anyway, we were going down to Canton, and Marilyn Thiel was riding with us. And it was a cold, cold night. And if you know, going through Mequon, there's a little, you dip around, and as I went around, there was some, I'm not sure whether it was pop or what it was on the table. And anyway, it went off and soaked Marilyn's dress. And we didn't know what to do. Well, fortunately, she had a slip on. And so we got the dress off, and we put it out the window to try to dry it, and it was about 10 above zero. When we got to Canton, why, it was fairly well dried out. But that was one of the stories that that occurred with Marilyn.
And, you know, I think the other thing I think you have to remember, Jim, about that era was, you know, and of course I was, believe it or not, I was a kid during that era, but if people maybe are familiar with the term the Rat Pack, with Frank Sinatra mm-hmm. and Dean Martin and those guys, these guys were the Rat Pack mm-hmm. of their era here at Galesburg, I guarantee you. And they had a great time, and there was a lot of laughing and a lot of joking, and they really enjoyed each other's company, and that was a special time, no question about it.
Well, following Harbor Lights, our group closed up Harbor Lights. We would then go to the Thiel home, and about 1 o'clock in the morning, Marilyn would pull out the bacon and eggs. Mm-hmm. And by the time we left, it was maybe 2:30.
I don't know. There were a few parties that I was at where I'm not sure people left.
So her duties never ceased.
Saw the sun come up.
Oh, goodness. Well, again, our condolences to the Thiel family. And great stories. And, of course, obviously, if you were even just talking about Coach, we could probably go on and on for hours and
hours. Well, I think the other thing to remember about Marilyn was that Marilyn lived a number of years after Coach passed away and, lived it again with a lot of grace. And she had a full-time job, worked down in Bloomington, and, had a lot of great friends down there as well. I know that Coach Ferguson's wife, they were good friends, and we also needed to mention Bob and Berta Morgan, who were great friends of the Thiels, and were there yesterday as well. They had a great influence on a lot of kids as well. So there was a real camaraderie, I guess, and they say it takes a village sometimes, and I think that was really true in terms of Coach's career. It wasn't, he was certainly the center of it all, but there were a lot of people that were very involved and that contributed to that success.
One quick story. Marilyn was sort of responsible to some degree for him coming to Galesburg. John was cut by the Milwaukee Hawks, and he evidently felt at that time he'd played in the Cotton States League in baseball, and he was a tremendous athlete. And John was reading the paper, and he said, "Here, there's some coach in Galesburg who's been drafted." I can't remember his name. He was an assistant coach. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Marilyn says, "Get on the phone and get an appointment." And so he came to Galesburg at a time when Frank Adams had a fairly good team. They were all pretty much juniors, mm-hmm. and they sort of meshed at the end of the year, and he got them. I think they had a less than 500 record when they went to state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was Owens and I was trying to think of all.
Well, Lind and maybe Granning the group that then Coach had the first year, which lost to West Rockford.
And Frank Adams, Knox decided they wanted him. And so all of a sudden, here's John, and they decided, well, we'll take him on as coach. And here he got these four kids that went on, and he almost won the state tournament his first year when They got beat by one point by West Rockford,
Nolan Gentry.
Nolan Gentry, yeah. Oh, okay.
And I think they got beat by like 1 point.
In an overtime, sudden death overtime.
Yeah, and they went on and waltzed through and won the state tournament.
Well, I imagine you talked about, you know, they coming here, the hand she had in that, but I imagine it was probably a tough thing, the move from here to Bloomington, probably tough on her and the kids as well.
Well, I think they decided that it was time to leave Galesburg, and she was actually there 40 years, almost as long as she'd been on this, or, you know, the time in Galesburg, and then I'm not sure how long they were married when he was still doing some of his when he was playing in the NBA.
Well, he had a really, you know, a great offer down there, and it was just, you know, one of those things where he told me it was too good to pass up, and you know, it was good money and something he enjoyed doing, going around talking to coaches and programs and doing that whole the sports services thing. So I still have a letter that he sent me on sports services stationery, actually, when I was looking for jobs and thinking about what I was going to be doing. And, it's still really special. So, but he did. He made a go of it down there and was, you know, very successful as a businessman as well. So John Thiel was one of the most highly organized men I ever knew, and I'm sure that was partially due to the fact that he was probably married to a very highly organized woman.
Absolutely. Well, Lisa told us that he wanted clam chowder for every evening meal because he wanted to eat light. And, I mean...
Well, he wanted to save up for Harbor Lights afterwards.
Right. There you go. There. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for taking some time this morning. Some great memories. Again, our condolences to the Thiel family and all those that knew Marilyn. And again, great stories. We appreciate your time.
News, information, and great conversation every weekday morning. The WGIL Morning News on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.